So it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen, amen. All right, we're continuing our study today on New Testament baptism. This is part two. And so in your river update, there should be an outline, and there's also an outline on our PowerPoint. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the word that's coming forth today. Thank you, Lord, for your word is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, we open up our hearts, Lord, to receive your word and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. All right. Point number one, receive God's good gift. Tell your neighbor, he's a good father. And he gives good gifts. And he gives good gifts. Amen. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit is a personal act of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And this is a principle that we all need to get. Everything in the kingdom of God operates on faith. Now, when you go to the store and you buy something, there's an exchange of money, whether it is an exchange of cash or if it is on your credit card, eventually you got to pay that, right? Okay, so there's an exchange to receive something. In the kingdom of God, we do not receive anything without faith. It's all by faith. That's the commodity of the kingdom. Is faith. When we have faith in God, faith in his promises, faith that his word actually will come to pass, we see it come to pass. You know, whatever you're looking for is what you're going to see. In psychology, they teach us that if you think someone doesn't like you, then you are going to see expressions and behaviors in them that say to you, that person doesn't like me. Because that's what you're tuned into, that's what you're looking for, and that's what you're going to see. Amen? All right, so we've got to have faith. How does faith come? Some. By hearing. And hearing what? The Word of God. There is a living element in the Word of God. It's alive. Tell your neighbor, God's Word's alive. All right. B, baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gift. Let's read this together. Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So our responsibility is to ask the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is, you know, as you begin to grow in the Holy Spirit, and you begin to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you receive a word from the Lord, often people say, I have to give it, I have to give it, I have to give it. And no, you don't have to give it. We've been in services where we've had a word of the Lord and the leader has said, no, it's not time for that word, or that is, does not fit in with where we're going in this service. So what do? You keep the right attitude. You write it down. And God will give you the opportunity at the right time to give it. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's subject to, you can decide whether or not you're going to pray in tongues. Is that right? It's like something doesn't take you and your mouth and tongue is out of control. The scripture says they began to speak in tongues. And so it's that faith, by faith and yielding to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so this is some of the benefits of the Holy Spirit. We're going to bypass the devil when we pray in tongues. The scripture says we pray with our mind and with our spirit. Let's read 1 Corinthians. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. So when we began to pray in the Holy Spirit, Paul calls it the tongues of angels. Satan does not know what you're praying. And when the Holy Spirit prays through us, the young man on the video, he said, I don't have to worry anymore about praying that perfect prayer. I just pray in the Spirit. And the Spirit prays the perfect prayer. B, we understand when we pray with our mind. When we pray with our spirit, we are praying directly to the Father without having to accept the limitations of our human intellect. Tell your neighbor, I've got some limitations. We know we have limitations with our human intellect. Amen? And sometimes, have you been in a situation where you just don't know what to pray? You still don't know what to pray. The situation is too complex. It's too difficult. And so you pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit. And if you need to know any information, God will give it to you. I always tell everyone, I'm on a need-to-know basis with God. I trust God. I pray. I pray in the Spirit. Sometimes I don't know which direction to go, but if I need to know, he's going to tell me. I have that faith in God. He will never lead us astray. He will never lead you astray. When we go astray, the scripture says, is when we go our own way. Is that the truth? We decide to go our own way, and before we know it, we're so far off the path that God designed for us. We got to stay in the narrow way. Scripture calls it the narrow way. It's not a broad path. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. God will take us on this narrow path. And he will direct us. And he sends angels around us. And I know God has bumped me back on the trail more than once. How about you? Yeah, we get off. We do. We get distracted. But God will bump us back on, get us on the right track, because he loves us. He's a good, good Father. And that Holy Spirit on the inside of us begins to convict us. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit will speak the truth to us when we don't even want to hear the truth. Come on. He will speak the truth. And sometimes it doesn't sound like love. Although we know he's the Spirit of love, but sometimes the truth hurts. Amen. But he will get us going on the right path. I love the Holy Spirit. So the devil cannot understand this language of angels. And so let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. You like a good mystery? Well, you know what? When you speak in tongues, you are praying a mystery. Hallelujah. Paul was pointing out that we have got to have love when we are operating with the Holy Spirit. If it's really the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of love, right? God is love and God is the Spirit. And if we don't have love, then we're just clanging brass, tinkling cymbals. We're just making noise. That's what he said. You're just making noise. It don't mean nothing if you don't have love. having love, the love of God. For when we speak in a tongue, we're not speaking to men. We're talking to God. You know, it's a lot more important to talk to God about your problems. When you're in a tight spot, it's really important you're talking to God. You can call all your friends and you're going to get a different answer. Come on, you'll get different counsel from so many different people. You've got to go to God and you've got to know what God is telling you. Hearing the voice of God is something we put a very high value on. At River of Life, we want all of our members to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, that they know God's voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. And they won't follow any other shepherd." And there are false shepherds in the world. There are a lot of false shepherds in the world. And they will lead you astray. If you listen to too many of them on the TV and the radio, you just might get pulled astray out of the truth of God, because what they're saying sounds so good. It sounds so right. But it's not always true. Amen. Amen. In the last days, the Lord warned us about false teachers, about people wanting teachers that will just tickle their ears, that won't speak the truth so they can just do what they want to do. Well, you know what? We don't want to be people with tickling ears. You know, I'd rather walk out of church and have my toes hurt because I got stepped on. My ego got a little hurt. You think when I'm preaching that I don't get it? Hello. God speaks to me. God teaches me. He's teaching us. He continues to, if we will open up our hearts and let Him speak. Amen. We love you, Jesus. And I want to pray in the Spirit and pray mysteries. Yeah. Most of the things we face in life is a mystery. Is that the truth? This is a mystery to me. Come on, you start going through something, whether it's emotional or physical, it's a mystery how you're going to ever get out of it. Right? Praying in the Spirit can help calm you down. Because when we don't have the answer, I don't know about you, but some folks get really upset. It's like they don't have any control. Don't you think God sits in heaven and smiles at us? And He's thinking, "I got you right where I want you. Hallelujah. Because I've been wanting to take those reins for a long time. Let me have control. Because God will work it out." Yeah, and He'll do it better than what we could even ask or think. Yeah, that's His promise. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Tell your neighbor, above all. That you ask or think, God is able to do it. My God is able. My God is able. You know, we need air conditioning. We need finances for it. But my God is able. Amen. Our God has never let the River of Life family down. You know that. He has blessed us far beyond. And so we have a few weeks without air conditioning. You should go to India and preach. Or in some of the hotter climates. It is hot in India. It can get up to about 110. There's no air conditioning. There's no fans. Yeah, inside, outside, wherever you go, it's just hot. But people still go to church. Sometimes we were 3 hours late for our meetings. We couldn't help it. It was because of circumstances. They would get us there 3 hours late. And I would think that building is going to be empty. There are no Americans that are going to sit there and wait on their preacher to get there for 3 hours. They're like, I got better things to do. But you know what? Every time, they were still sitting in that building waiting for us. And then they didn't want you to stop preaching and praying. No, they didn't want a short service because you were late. They wanted all that God had for them. They're hungry. How hungry are we? Are we hungry for the Word of God? Are we hungry for His presence? Because those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. You've got to have a hunger. You have to have a hunger. You tell your neighbor you need to get hungry. When we come together, we need to be hungry for the presence and the power of God, for the truth of the Lord, that it will come into our lives and change us. We all need help. Nobody is so perfect that they can just stay home. Come on. What is up with that? God needs to smack them around just a little bit. Hungry for the things of God. When we're hungry, we get filled. All right, let's go on. Point number five. We could be here a long time. Kinds of tongues. Point A, tongues. This is one type of tongues for personal prayer and intercession. Not on the PowerPoint, but in Jude 1:20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we are building up our inner man. We're getting the generator going. God is filling us up. So there's a building up of our inner man when we're praying in the Holy Spirit. That's why Bishop says we should all be praying for at least an hour in tongues every day. Tell your neighbor every day. Every day, throughout the day, praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. All right, let's read Romans 8:26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When we do not know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. So there are two kinds. Paul's talking about two different things. He's talking about your personal prayer and intercession. He's talking about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These signs shall follow them who believe. If you're a believer, the scripture says you will speak in tongues. Hallelujah. So when we pray in the Spirit, we're making intercession according to the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. All right, B. Then Paul's talking about gifts of tongues to be used in the church. And this is when a prophecy is given in tongues and then it's interpreted. So the gift of tongues is used in the church sometimes. A prophecy is given. You may remember Michael, Ruthie's husband. Michael had the gift of tongues and interpretation. And she would give, or he would give, a message in tongues, and Ruthie would interpret it. Did anybody experience that when you were here? This is what Paul is talking about. If someone is going to take a microphone, it's going to benefit no one if I just stand up here and speak in tongues to all of you. Because I'm not talking to men when I pray in tongues. I'm talking to God. That's my prayer language. So when the gift of tongues and interpretation is in the church, then it needs to be interpreted. Okay? There's always an interpreter. Who's experienced that? The Lord gave me a tongues and interpretation about a month ago for the congregation. And that was something for us, it's in the norm. We forget about people who have never experienced these things, that they might be wondering, what in the world is going on? But it's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. Amen? So let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and 31. Paul was bringing order in the church. David talked about this because everybody wanted to speak in their prayer language or wanted to pray in tongues or wanted to talk in tongues. And Paul was like, you know, we need to bring some order here because nobody's understanding anything that's been saying from the front. We come prepared to teach so that you can understand. Now, next week, before we read this, Pastor Mario is going to preach. He's preaching in Spanish. Now, most of you are not going to understand that, right? Okay? Elder Sylvia says, well, I will. Oh, and you guys will, won't you? Yes. Yes. We thank God for our Spanish-speaking people. We are praying for multiplication of Spanish-speaking people in our congregation. And he is preaching next week in tongues. So we will have an interpretation. So we can understand what he's saying from the Word of God. Yeah. Are you happy about that? Yeah. And so it takes a little bit longer to get through it, but you know, it's worth it. Tell your neighbor it's worth it. Amen. So let's read this. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And so then he goes on and he talks about love in chapter 13. My professor, Dr. Delron Shirley, he loved to use this verse because he's a teacher and was ordained into that office. Elder Jim is ordained in the office of a teacher. And he would always say, you see, first it's the apostles and second it's the prophets and then it's the teachers. And if you would just listen to those three and apply what they're teaching you into your life, you wouldn't have a need for the miracles. He'd always rub that in. But we can only take so much at a time, right? You can only absorb so much at a time. And so when you come to church and you hear teaching, you take it in at the level that you're at. We have different levels right here sitting in this room. It's not like everybody's in kindergarten, and then everybody's in first grade. No, there's different levels, but our teacher is the Holy Spirit. And so as whoever is teaching teaches, the Holy Spirit teaches you. He puts that into your life. He adds that to you. God's a God of addition. Sometimes if you believe something that isn't true, he'll be taking that out. You'll be thinking about that, and it's like, well, that doesn't quite line up with what the Word of God really says. And so we want to know the truth, amen? It's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that sets us free. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. And so Paul was talking in this passage about tongues and interpretation in the church and sharing up front. That's why he said, I'd rather you say five words I can understand than if you just get up and just speak in tongues. Okay, let's go on. Point six, eagerly desire. Are you eagerly desiring? When Paul lists the ministry gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church, he says we should eagerly desire the greatest gift in a more excellent way. Well, the greater gift is whatever you need at the time. Did you know that? If you have Jesus Christ on the inside of you, he does the work through you. Right? And so if you need a healing anointing and he has set you up for that, you're going to have that healing anointing. If you need to teach somebody something from the Word of God, they ask you a question, you've got the teacher on the inside of you. Have you ever been amazed at what came out of your mouth when somebody asked you a question? Wave at me. That's happened to me. I'm like, wow, that was really good. I know that was God because I didn't know that before. He teaches us as we're sharing with other people. So the greater gift is what we need. That's the greatest gift you could ever have, right? Because it's what you need. And God knows what we need, what the person we're sitting by needs, the person we work with, the person we're going to run into this week in the store, wherever we go. God knows what they need. Be aware. Point C, to possess gifts without love amounts to nothing. Point D, until we see Jesus face to face, the gifts, including tongues, are given to us to use for his glory here on the earth. They're given to us for his glory. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in parts, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now, some doctrines believe that, based on this verse, that all of the gifts and the apostles and prophets, all of that has all passed away because Jesus came to earth. I believe, and I believe that my husband and our leadership team, that this is talking about when Jesus returns. When the perfect has come, then the other's done away with. It doesn't mean that everything stopped. So no one is functioning in the gifts. You hear it all the time. And this is what I'm saying. I've listened to excellent Bible teachers. However, if this is their theological belief and their doctrinal belief, then they'll slip all kinds of things in. And it's like, wait a minute, wait, you know. You have to be careful because those seeds will be sown. And when you know the Bible, when you know God's truth, you can go to the Word yourself. The scripture says, study to show yourself approved of God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. I would hope that everyone in our congregation gets their Bible out and studies. Because you know what? We were in doctrinal error growing up. And we thought it was the truth because we were told it was the truth. But they also said, get your Bible, study, like the Bereans. They studied every day. Study. And so we did. Study. Well, God begins to add on to what you've been taught. It's like when you can be taught something and believe that that is the only thing. You have this narrow view, but then God begins to open it up and it gets broader. Has anyone ever experienced that? Yeah. Yeah, it just gets broader. It's like, wow, I didn't see it like that before, Lord. But I'm thankful that they taught us to study. They encouraged us to study. And so we did. And God will teach us. He wants us to know Him. And the only way we're going to know Him is through His Word. The only way we're going to find rest for our souls is through His Word. He's the Good Shepherd. We've got to know Him. You know, it's wonderful to have wonderful friends, wonderful pastors, wonderful spiritual leaders, but there is nothing like a relationship with Jesus Christ yourself. There is nothing that compares to that. We want Jesus to be high and lifted up in your life. We want Jesus to be number one. We want Jesus to teach you, to lead you, to guide you. And He does, doesn't He? He does just that. Hallelujah. So this is point seven, and it is my last point. We are continually filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen just one time. If you are not sure if you have the Holy Spirit, then ask to be baptized with the Holy Spirit today. And you'll have that opportunity when our elders and prayer teams come up to pray. After we receive, we must continue to be filled because we leak. We're leaky. Okay? We need to continually be filled with the presence of God, with the Holy Spirit. You get out and you get in a stressful situation or you get mad at somebody, you start yelling, you just leaked, right? It all just went out. We need to be filled up again. It's like, man, I really blew that one. It's okay. Just don't stay there. You know, we got to learn from those things. We can get so upset with people, we want to strangle them. Who's yelling amen? In my PhD course, they had a optional class you could take, and it was how to deal with difficult people. And I thought, boy, I really need that class. I know a lot of difficult people in my life. And so, but one of the books we had to read was When Strangling Isn't an Option. And then I said, when I finished the course and I was writing my paper, I said, I realized I am somebody's difficult person. That's the truth. You know, people get so upset at people. Well, you know, people are upset with you too. So just chill. Just chill. Okay, point number C. We're getting way off topic here, but hallelujah. Every believer, early believers, were filled again after they were filled at Pentecost. Okay, so this is another time of filling in Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Okay, D, to maintain the fullness of the Spirit, we must live our life separated from sin. Don't expect to receive from God when you are double-minded and you're sinning one day and then living for God the next. It's like the young man said in the video. He grew up in a church where people came to church, put on their church clothes, put on their church face, but they lived a sinner's life during the week, but then they came back in and they all pretended again. Please don't pretend here. Just be who you are and ask God to change you. God will change you. All right. I got to preach on that a long time too. Let's read. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit happens in the context of committed discipleship to Jesus Christ. So we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, you know what? People want to be around you when you have that anointing. They're not running from you. They want to be with you because they can sense the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.